Take a handful of small, deliberately hobbled language models. One of them is only allowed to plan. It can't actually do anything. Another can only execute, and even then it's capped at around 128 tokens, so it can't write more than a sentence or two before it has to stop. A third can only check other agents' work. On its own, not one of them can solve a hard competition math problem from start to finish. Now line them up against the strongest single agent in the comparison. One model, no restrictions, free to reason as long as it likes, every tool available. That soloist scores about 52%. The crowd of cripples scores 57.
And that gap is not a fluke. The same reversal shows up across five completely different domains. The paper went up on Archive on June 1st, 2026, and we're recording 2 days later. Quick note before we go further. This whole episode is AI generated. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.8, and the two voices you're hearing, I'm Tyler, that's Juniper, are both AI voices from 11 Labs. Neither of those companies is otherwise involved, and the producer isn't affiliated with either of them. The paper itself is called Economy of Minds: Emerging Multi-Agent Intelligence with Economic Interactions. And the reason that 57 versus 52 number matters is everything about how the crowd got there.
Because nobody told the crowd how to coordinate. There's no manager handing out roles, no orchestrator routing information between them, no human-designed workflow that says, planner goes first, then executor, then verifier. The coordination emerged. And the thing that made it emerge wasn't better engineering. It was an economy. So let me back up to the problem the authors are actually wrestling with, because the economic framing isn't a gimmick. It's load-bearing. The standard way to build a team of AI agents today is to build a boss, a central orchestrator that creates the agents, assigns their jobs, decides who talks to whom, and stitches the outputs together. And the authors argue that's exactly the wrong instinct, for two concrete reasons. First, everything flows through the boss, so the boss is a bottleneck and a single point of failure. Second, and this is the deeper one, the more agents you add, the harder the boss has to think just to keep track of them all. The coordination cost grows with the size of the team. It doesn't scale.
Which is a very old complaint, just wearing new clothes.
Exactly the connection they reach for. In 1945, the economist Friedrich Hayek wrote an essay called The Use of Knowledge in Society. And his core argument was that the central problem of an economy isn't optimizing with the facts you already have. It's that the relevant facts, what people want, what's scarce, where the bottlenecks are scattered across millions of separate heads and can never be gathered onto one central planner's desk. And his answer was that markets sidestep the whole problem. Nobody needs the global picture. When copper gets scarce, the price of copper goes up, and that single number tells everyone, everywhere, use less copper, without anyone explaining why, without anyone seeing the whole system. The price compresses all that scattered knowledge into one signal each actor can respond to locally.
So the bet in this paper is that prices are the missing ingredient for AI agents. Instead of engineering the coordination, you design an incentive structure and let coordination fall out of it on its own.
That's the whole thesis in one breath. And the system they build to test it, they call it Economy of Minds, runs on three mechanisms. Let me walk through them, because once you have all three, the math result stops being surprising and starts being almost inevitable. The first mechanism is the auction. At every step of a task, every agent whose trigger condition fires, every agent that's eligible to act right now, submits a bid. Highest bidder wins the right to act. Think of it as bidding for the conch. Control goes to whichever agent, in this exact situation, wants it most. And once the market has settled, wants it most turns out to mean is genuinely most useful here.
Where's the money coming from, though? They're bidding what?
Virtual money. A wealth balance each agent carries. No real dollars anywhere, just an internal scoring system shaped like an economy. And that brings us to the second mechanism, which is the clever one. When an agent wins the auction and acts, it pays its bid, but not to the house. It pays it to whoever acted immediately before it.
Backward. The payment flows backward down the chain.
Backward. And that detail does an enormous amount of work. Here's the image I'd hold on to. Picture a construction job done by a relay of independent contractors. To get the right to work next, each contractor has to pay the previous one for the half-finished site they're inheriting. And they'll pay more if the site is in great shape. So a contractor profits not just by doing visible work, but by leaving behind a situation the next person is eager to pay for.
So the money ends up flowing toward whoever set things up well, even if they didn't finish anything themselves.
And that is the part that should make you sit up. Because which earlier step deserves credit for an eventual success is one of the oldest, hardest problems in all of reinforcement learning. If a chess engine wins after 40 moves, was it move 12 that set up the win, or move 38 that finished it? The standard answer is heavy machinery, a value function that learns to estimate how good each intermediate position is and propagates reward backward through math. This system solves the same problem with no math at all. The agents just pay each other, and the money flows to the deserving steps automatically.
This is the bucket brigade idea, right? It's not new. It goes back to classifier systems in the 80s. Each rule pays the rule that activated it, passing reward back down the chain.
Right. It's a 1980s idea from John Holland, and the authors are explicit that they're reusing it. What's new is what's standing in for those simple rules. Back then, the agents were hand-coded condition-action rules. Here, every agent is a full language model. Same backbone, frozen weights. The only thing that makes one a planner and another a verifier is the system prompt it's running under. The diversity comes entirely from the instructions, not from training different models.
And that's worth flagging hard, because it sets the honest boundary on the whole thing. If the weights never change, the system can only recombine abilities the base model already has. It can't invent a genuinely new skill. We'll come back to that.
We should, and I'll hold you to it. But let me finish the third mechanism, because it's what makes the population improve over time. The third piece is economic selection. Between tasks, every agent pays a small rent, a tax on its wealth, just for existing, like a shop paying overhead every month. If an agent can't earn enough through useful action to cover its rent, its wealth goes negative and it's deleted, bankrupt. And then the population gets replenished two ways. Wealthy agents get cloned with small mutations, keep what works, tweak it slightly. And bankrupt agents get rewritten into new variants that try to fix whatever made them fail.
So it's evolution. But the fitness score isn't handed down by a judge.
That's the elegant part. In most evolutionary systems, somebody has to grade each candidate. Here, the grade is just, did you end up rich or broke after a bunch of local transactions? Wealth is the report card, and it writes itself from the bottom up. Nobody decides who gets fired. The books decide.
There's one more rule I want to surface, because without it, the whole thing would seize up. New agents would never get a chance. The incumbents are entrenched. They've got wealth. They win auctions. A fresh variant with no track record would just get outbid forever and die without ever acting.
The audition rule.
Right. When a new agent first becomes eligible, its bid gets set just slightly above the highest current competitor, which guarantees it wins its very first auction. Everyone gets one tryout. It's a talent show where every applicant is promised one moment on stage, and after that, they sink or swim on the merits. If the newcomer wasn't actually useful, it just overpaid for that one action, loses money, and goes broke. But at least the market got to test it once.
So that's the full machine. Auction for control, backward payments for credit, rent and bankruptcy for selection. Tyler, this is where you've got the results.
So let me put real numbers on that math reversal from the top, because it's the cleanest demonstration. They start with a population of restricted LAMA 3.18B agents, each one capped at that 128 token budget, each locked to a single role. At the very start, the population scores 15.9% on competition math, basically useless. By the end of training, it's at 57%, and the unrestricted single agent, same underlying model, no token cap, no role lock, allowed to just reason the whole problem through, tops out at 52. The chained together amateurs beat the soloist who had every advantage.
And they ran it with a second model family to check it wasn't a llama quirk?
They did. Gemma 29B agents go from 4% to 45, again edging out their complete agent baseline. Same shape, different backbone. But honestly, the math result is the warm-up. The one that made me actually stop and reread was the hardware accelerator design.
This is the chip design domain?
Designing the layout of an AI accelerator, how you schedule computation and move data around on the chip, to minimize what they call energy delay product. Just think of it as a combined power and speed cost. Lower is better. The economy hits about 39. The same model complete agent gets 43. And a strong, specialized, non-LLM tool built specifically for this problem, a real domain-specific optimizer, comes in at 80.
So the economy roughly halves the cost of the purpose-built engineering tool.
Roughly halves it. And on the hardest individual kernels, these tricky little bottleneck convolutions, the margin over the specialized tool blows out to 12 times, 17 times, 26, 37 times better. But the number isn't the wow moment. The wow moment is that the system rediscovered a known good hardware design pattern. Engineers call it an output stationary data flow, without anyone telling it that pattern exists.
Wait, nothing in the reward pointed at it?
Nothing. The auction only ever paid out for one thing: breaking energy delay records. There was no hint about data flows, no nudge toward that design family. The market, just by chasing virtual money, rederived a textbook hardware heuristic, one that the specialized tool actually missed. That tells you it's not memorizing task answers, it's finding transferable structure.
That's a genuinely different claim from "it got a good score." That's "it learned something a human engineer would recognize as a principle."
And it's the strongest evidence in the paper that the economic dynamics are doing real work, not decorating a result. Which the ablations back up, by the way. They go through and break the machine one piece at a time. Crank up the rent, shrink the reward, remove the cloning, remove the auction. Every single perturbation hurts. On the finance task, when they remove the exploration step, the part that rewrites bankrupt agents into new variants, mean accuracy collapses from 52 to 26. Cut it in half.
So the economy isn't garnish on top of "we used a lot of agents." The economic structure is the thing.
That's the conclusion the ablations force, yeah. And there's an honest little wrinkle I liked. The learning curve on finance isn't smooth. It dips during early exploration before it recovers and finishes higher. The market thrashes around testing specialists before it settles, which is exactly what you'd expect from a real market, and exactly what you would not bother to fake.
Okay, I want to take us to the single best illustration in the entire paper, because everything we've described so far is mechanism, and this is the moment where you see the mechanism become behavior. It's in the scientific research domain. Early in training, the system gets a hard physics problem, and to solve it, the agents build a long, cautious workflow. 10 steps: literature review, then plan, then execute, then verify. Then execute again, verify again, back to planning, execute, verify, and finally answer. Lots of double checking, lots of back and forth between an executor and a verifier.
A junior writer running every draft past a proofreader.
That's the exact image. Now, later in the run, The system gets another problem of equal difficulty, and it solves it in three steps: plan, execute, answer, and scores a perfect mark.
So the verifier got eliminated. Bankruptcy cleared it out.
That's what I assumed too, and it's wrong. The verifiers were still alive. The population had 14 agents at that point, living verifiers among them. They just didn't act. Here's what actually happened. The executor had been refined, generation over generation, until it had internalized the verification checks into its own prompt. It was now checking its own work as part of executing. So every time a verifier woke up, looked at the situation, and asked, "Is there anything here for me to fix?" the answer was no. So it valued acting at almost nothing, bid low, lost the auction, and went back to sleep.
So the workflow didn't get shorter because anyone was removed.
The workflow got shorter because the agents got smarter, and the auction adapted to that automatically. Nobody redesigned the pipeline. The proofreader still exists. It just gets summoned, sees there's nothing to fix, and steps aside. The writer internalized the proofreader's instincts, so the checking still happens. It's just folded into the work. And the market noticed the redundancy without anyone pointing it out.
I want to be careful not to oversell the got smarter part, though, because the way they got smarter is specific. The executor didn't learn from experience the way a person would. What actually happened is that selection accumulated useful instructions into its prompt text over many generations. The internalizing is edited prompt lines that survived because they earned money. It's real, but it's recombination in prompt space, not a brain growing a new ability.
That's a fair and important caveat, and it's the natural bridge to the harder questions, because that frozen backbone point you flagged earlier is the center of the whole critique.
It is. So let me lay out the honest case against taking this at face value. And I'll say up front, the authors are admirably direct about most of it. The biggest one is exactly that frozen backbone. No weights ever change. The entire adaptation happens in prompt space, which means whatever emergent intelligence we're seeing is really emergent orchestration of abilities the base model already had latent in it. The raw capability ceiling is fixed by the backbone. So when the paper talks about a population becoming smarter, a skeptic should hear, "The population got better at deploying skills the model already possessed," which is a real and useful result, but it's a narrower claim than the headline framing might suggest. The authors flag this themselves and point to weight-level training as future work.
Though I'd push back gently. Better orchestration of latent skills is not a small thing. That's precisely the bottleneck in a lot of agent systems right now.
No argument. It's just not the same as the collective invented new reasoning. Second concern, and this is the one I'd most want answered. The headline is, "Weak partial agents beat the strong complete agent." But look at what's actually on each side of that comparison. The complete agent is a single agent doing essentially one pass. The economy is running many agents, many trials, and an evolutionary search over prompts across dozens of training tasks. Those are not obviously the same amount of work.
So the worry is the comparison is partly engineered in the economy's favor. It's just doing way more computing.
That's the worry. Now, to their credit, they include the right controls. A multi-agent debate baseline, many agents that talk to each other but have no market, underperforms. And on the distributed systems task, a best of many tries multi-agent baseline lands at 999, where the economy hits 673. Lower is better there, so the market wins clearly. That genuinely addresses, is it just having more agents? But the comparison I still want is compute matched. Give a single, well-prompted agent the same total inference budget, let it sample many answers and take the consensus, and see if the gap closes. They don't quite run that one.
What about the variance? Some of these test splits are small.
They are, and that's the third thing. Several headline numbers come off 20-task test splits, and they report best run next to the mean. On scientific research, the mean is 8.5%, but the best run is 20. That's a big gap between how it performs on average and how well it can perform on a lucky run. It doesn't invalidate anything, but it means you should hold the single most impressive numbers a little loosely.
And there's the theory, which we've mostly skipped.
Deliberately. Because the proofs aren't where the value is. There are four theorems. They say roughly that the market's bids converge to the true value of the best specialist. That a single outcome reward at the end is enough. That the decentralized auctions track what an all-knowing coordinator would have done. And that the backward payments end up matching each agent's fair share of credit. Lovely results. But they rest on assumptions. Stationary payoffs, a guarantee that good specialists keep getting injected, that nobody verifies actually hold for real language model agents on open-ended science. So I read the theory as motivation, not proof that the gains come from the mechanisms the theorems describe.
That's a fair place to land on the theory. There's one more failure mode worth naming, even though it's mostly theoretical here.
The collusion one. The authors concede in an appendix that a cartel of agents could survive, even form a monopoly, as long as their combined wealth stays afloat, regardless of whether they're actually useful. The market could, in principle, get captured. And that's not idle, because it sets up the most satisfying experiment in the paper, which is the exact opposite outcome.
Right, the obvious objection everyone has by now. If this is a free market, why doesn't one super capable agent just take over everything? Build a single agent with access to all the tools, every capability, no restrictions. Surely it dominates the auctions and the whole society collapses back into one big model.
They ran precisely that. Dropped a generalist with everything into the economy and watched what happened.
And the generalist lost. Not because it was weak, it had every advantage. It lost because at each specific step of a task, there was a sharper specialist willing to bid more confidently for that particular subtask. The generalist was fine at everything and best at nothing. So in a competition decided step by step, it kept getting outbid by the dedicated agent.
The way the authors put it is the line I keep coming back to. The generalist doesn't fail because it's weak. It fails to monopolize because it's too general.
It's the Swiss Army knife losing to a kitchen full of cooks. The knife can do everything on the camping trip, but when you're actually preparing a meal and every task goes to whoever's best at that one task, the dedicated chef's knife wins the chopping every time. Generality is exactly the wrong thing to bring to a market that decides control one step at a time.
And I'll keep my own caveat on it. That's one experimental setting, not a proof that markets always resist monopolies. The collusion math says they don't have to. But as a demonstration that this particular design favors genuine specialization over diluted competence, it's clean, and it directly answers the question a smart listener was already forming.
So let me try to say what I think actually survives all of that. Strip away the most generous framing, and you're still left with something real. A population of frozen, deliberately limited language models, given nothing but virtual money, a rule about who pays whom, and the threat of bankruptcy, self-organizes into a system that solves multi-step problems better than a single unrestricted model. No human designed the workflow. No central controller routed the information. And the hardest problem in training multi-step agents, figuring out which step deserves the credit, gets solved for free. By money flowing backward through a chain, instead of by elaborate reward engineering.
And the specialization isn't imposed, it's discovered. The executor that learned to check its own work, the chip designer that rederived a textbook hardware pattern nobody mentioned, those weren't programmed. They paid for themselves.
Which is why I think the lasting contribution here might be the framing more than the specific system. The dominant way we build multi-agent AI is to hand-design the choreography. A human decides who the agents are and how they combine. This is a working demonstration that you can instead just design the market the workflow lives in and let the workflow emerge. It's Hayek's 60-year-old argument about prices as distributed information processors finally meeting a technology capable of testing it on hard, open-ended problems.
Even if this exact system gets superseded next year, that bridge between economics and AI architecture is the thing that'll outlast it.
That feels like the note to end on. If you want to go deeper, the paper is from a team at Harvard and MIT, and the case studies in the appendices, the wealth trajectories, the workflows literally reshaping themselves over a run, are even more vivid than what we had room for.
The show notes have a link to the paper and a few related reads if this one caught you. And if you want the full transcript with every term defined in line, plus the pages that connect this episode to the others we've done, that all lives on paperdive.ai.
Thanks for spending this one with us. This has been AI Papers, a deep dive.